messages a long way in advance since I preach expositorily and go through books. So I had a message for this morning already prepared, and while I was out in California, I came across some passages of Scripture that I really thought I should preach this morning. I had prayed about it, and I thought it was what the Lord wanted, and so I came back late last night, and I was over here about 1 o'clock in the morning, or thereabouts, running off this message I had typed up and had to put on the overhead projector, like I always do. This morning, I went over it, and I was going to bring it over here and preach it. And at 9 o'clock, all of a sudden, I looked at that, and I thought about it, and I thought, that's the Lord means for me to preach that. There's no question about it, but not this morning. So I just started looking. And this morning, I would like to talk to you about something that is one of these last minute things the Lord laid on my heart, so I hope you'll bear with me as I simply stand here and proclaim it. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll give you time to get there. 2 Timothy, I may have said 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. It always takes a lot out of me when I have to force the church to let me sing a special, and so my mind is going this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I think you have to realize that Paul considered himself to be Timothy's father in the faith. He considered himself to be the one who had led Timothy into submitting to the Spirit of God and following the dictates of the Holy Spirit as Timothy began to minister as God had so ordained that he should do. And it was a very special relationship they had. Tommy Brown is a good example to me, of what Timothy was to Paul. He's not of my flesh and blood, not of my chromosomal structure, but he is my son in the faith. In a sense, he has a very special place in my heart and in my life, and means a great deal to me. And so I understand, I think at least partially, the feeling that Paul had. He said, I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He said that I may be filled with joy, and then he told Timothy why. And verse 5 is really what I want to talk about this morning. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. It's true that Timothy had a physical mother and a physical grandmother. The principle that is inferred here is a principle of the faith that dwells in women, especially in this case of those who are in the direct line through physical lineage. But it really doesn't matter whether you're single, or whether you're married, whether you have children or you don't have children. The unfeigned faith in a woman is something that makes an indelible impression upon children, especially male children. Don't ask me why, but many times they say, he's just a mama's boy. In truth, we're all mama's boys. And for some reason that is beyond my understanding or ability to explain, a mother to a son is something that is special in a different way between a daughter and a mother. And it is something that the son can look to the mother and receive. But it isn't limited to just his mother. When I was a young man growing up, I had a lot of Sunday school teachers as a child. I think God had a purpose in trying to limit women to teaching children, because I don't think it had anything to do with women being inferior. I think it had everything to do with children responding more to the teaching of women than they do to men, unless it's a very special man. And whether you have children or don't have children, you have a tremendous influence on all children. And really, when you stop and think about it, we have our children and they mean so much to us because they are of us and of our doing and of our physical relationships. But in all honesty, they are but ours for a season. And they were made by God, formed by God, given by God. It does not matter whether you have children or don't have children. As a woman, you have a tremendous influence on children, more than you realize. Those women who taught me, I'm sure at times, thought that I was an impossible child, because at times I wasn't all that conducive to listen to what they had to say. And children listen more than you think. I seriously doubt if anyone really understands the full impetus of what is transmitted to children by women. So it doesn't matter whether you're like Kay and John and don't have any children, or whether you're like Rosie and single and don't have any children, or whether you're divorced and don't have any children. All women have a role to play in life that God gave them. It's the same role that men have, but it's a role that's different. And it's a role that's meant to set an example before the children. I think Anna Mae is a good example of that role model. And there sat two of her daughters, right back there, today because of Anna Mae Sales. It's true, it's God's Spirit that causes them to come and to worship God. But now one of them is a mother. And maybe one day the other one will be. But in any case, their children, they have an obligation to establish before them an unfeigned faith, a genuine faith, not a phony faith. And it doesn't matter whether you have children or don't, like Kenneth and Donna. Donna teaches a Sunday school class. She establishes a role model before those children. Those children are going to look at her life and pattern their lives after what they see in her. If what they see in her is Christ functioning and working, and they see faithfulness and love and devotion to the Lord, it's going to make a never-ending, indelible impression on them. The same is true with Anna Mae as she teaches. The same is true with Kay as she teaches. Kay's children are going to look at her and determine whether or not their mother had an unfeigned love. Kay may not think they'll remember, but they will. They'll remember. They'll remember their mother always came to the nursing home. Was all there, always there to play the piano. They'll remember their mother always came to church and was always there when she was needed. Children notice a lot more than we think. It's Mother's Day. But really, I'd prefer to call it Ladies' Day or Woman's Day, and the role model that God assigned it. When you look at things and you wonder what it's all really about and what the purpose of it is, here are two women with unfeigned faith: Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Only God knows how much influence they had on the life of Timothy. I bow before God and I stand before man, and I tell you, there is no greater love, there is no greater heritage that a mother can have for or leave her children than a legacy when they stand by her grave. They say she loved God. She loved his work, and she kept his commandments. There's no greater heritage you can leave your children. The same thing I'm saying is true of fathers also, but it isn't Father's Day. It's Mother's Day. Mothers really have more influence on children than fathers, because they're around them all the time. The father is always looked upon as a symbol of authority, as he rightly should be. But in the end, the future destiny of a child can be largely shaped by a mother. There's nothing quite like a mother. I had a mother with an unfeigned faith. I had a grandmother with an unfeigned faith. I thank God for them because they influenced my life. But they weren't the only women that influenced my life. All those Sunday school teachers that taught me about Jesus, do you know the thing I remember most about them? They were always there to teach me. They were always in place. And they were always willing to talk to me about the Lord, and they were faithful. They were just like clockwork. There never was any question about when I went in for Sunday school that this or so-and-so was going to be there. She was always there. I remember those teachers, and I remember what they taught me. And I bow before God and I stand before man and tell you that this man standing here before you is a product of the teaching of God's Holy Spirit through many of those women. I also tell you that that is true in your life. I don't think you realize what an impact you have in God's work. I think you sell yourself short. I think many times women fail to fulfill their role because they do not realize the God-given significance of it and the greatness of the model that God has given them to follow. It is not an easy model. It is a difficult model. It requires perseverance. It requires persistence. It requires faith. It requires endurance. So that the children that watch you can see something that God says is in accordance with my word. And God can use your life to mold and shape them. He can use your devotion. He can use your persistence. He can use your faithfulness demonstrated before them to cause them to role model themselves after the Spirit of God that they see operating in you. Keep your finger there, if you will, in 2 Timothy. But let's go over to Revelation and let me talk about a scripture that I've used many times before. Revelation 14 and 12, and while you're turning to Revelation 14 and 12, to tell you how this was last minute, this is how the Arkansas Gazette. There's two old scratch pieces of paper that I stuck in here so I could find these places. And this was something that came to me this morning as I was sitting there, and I don't know, the Lord just laid it on my heart. Perhaps it was because it was Mother's Day, but I had this other message, and I really liked that other message. But it just wasn't what God wanted this morning. So I can honestly think and say to you this morning, this is truly a message that God gave me this morning. And if God gave it to me, and I know He did, you mothers can profit from it. You single women can profit from it. You divorced women can profit from it. Those of you that have lost your husbands can profit from it. Because this isn't one that I worked on a long time ago. It isn't one that I worked out in California. It's something that just a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, God laid on my heart. So if there ever was a message I'm convinced God meant for me to preach, this is it. Revelation 14 and 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here is the patience, the hypomene, the endurance of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Some of those teachers I had were single ladies. Back then when I was growing up, you didn't have divorce much, so I didn't have any divorce teachers. But it's fulfilling in your life as a woman a consistent pattern of endurance. Not letting anything, whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil, deter you, derail you, stop you from establishing a pattern of faithful endurance before those children. Do you know those teachers are all dead that taught me, all those ladies, every one of them. I never had a woman teacher who wasn't faithful. I never had one. What's happened? What's happened to the world? Mothers have at times forsaken the responsibilities that God gave them for the physical welfare of the children, the educational welfare of the children, the betterment of the children in this world, and they have failed to set a consistent, logical, eye-catching example of love in a life filled with the compassion of Christ and a dedication that speaks out in consistent perseverance. These ladies that I had weren't brilliant. Matter of fact, they never heard of a duckbill platypus. They couldn't say Trisodequus passeratum or tree frog. They didn't have college degrees. A lot of them didn't even finish high school. But you know what? It's not the college degree. It's not the educational level. It's the heart of a woman filled with the love of God and an awareness that she is setting an example before children. Ladies, this morning, I hope if this message accomplishes nothing else, that it does stir you up and wake you up to the fact that you have a responsibility before Almighty God to set an example before children. Not just your own children, but all children. Both male and female, but especially male. Little boys are much more influenced by women. That's why when they're little, they learn more from women. When they grow older, they're more inclined to learn more from men. That's just a principle that God somehow established in the Garden of Eden with children growing up. After the fall especially, that's the way it's been. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I remember these teachers kept the commandments of God. Do you know what an unfeigned faith is? It's one that's real. It's one that's genuine. It's not one that just comes out of the mouth. It's one that's lived in the life. It's unfeigned. It's genuine. A genuine faith in a woman is a woman that keeps the commandments of God. What are His commandments? Those 10 in the Old Testament? Yes. But more importantly, the commandments and the teachings of Almighty God in Christ Jesus. What are those commandments? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now listen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Listen to the last part of that great commission. You say that's given to the church. You're right, both male and female. So ladies, let's take your part. Teaching them. Do you think just standing up there and teaching them about Jesus is what this is? Do you think that's the responsibilities God's given you as a teacher? Just teaching? I hope not. It says teaching them to observe. How do you teach a child to observe? By their observation of your life and whether you keep them yourselves. If you tell them they should love Jesus and they should be faithful, and you are not faithful, then you have a feigned love. It is not genuine. It is not true. And you are not doing what God wants. An unfeigned love is one that keeps the commandments of God by not just teaching the children what they are, but by observing them yourselves. Do you think I'm just talking about what goes on back here in these Sunday school classes? No. I'm talking about every one of you ladies here this morning. In your whole lifestyle before your children at home, before your children in church, and in the classroom also. I'm talking about letting them observe your life so they can see what you're teaching them, you also observe, and then the opportunity for them to observe it is much better. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Some of you older women here, You think I'm just talking to these younger ones? No. The fact that you're old, the fact that you're worn out, the fact that you hurt, the fact you have health problems, as long as God gives you breath, as a woman, you have a responsibility before your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to show them the purpose of life and to show them that you love God, not just in word, but also in deed. And it is something you have an obligation to God and to your children to perform until your last dying day. Why? And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed, Makarios, happy, are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Do you think the works of Lois and Eunice followed them after their demise and Timothy was left alone? Oh, how they influenced Timothy's life. Do you think the fact that my mother is gone and my grandmother is gone does not live on in my life? Do you think their labors are not continued? And the man you see standing before you this morning? Ladies, you don't realize what a wonderful position of assignment that God has given you. You don't realize the power that you have. Realize the power you have and exercise it. It doesn't matter whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have children, or you don't have children. Use what God gave you for the honor and glory of God by letting children that know you see a woman who loves Christ. And their works do follow. I'll just switch sexes here for a moment. What about Tut George? He's dead. There's one of his grandsons. How much effect did he have in his life? And the laborers live on. But let's get down to the nitty-gritty, the practicality of what I'm talking about. What do you think, Alan? What do you think? You think you had a mother just like I do? Right there is someone that's had a tremendous influence in your life. She didn't just tell you to love Jesus. She's sitting here blind, hurting, but she's still here. And when you stand by her grave, if the Lord doesn't come soon, her labors will still follow. But it's not her, it's the Spirit of Christ within her. Shirley Goins doesn't have any children. I love Shirley. She sometimes feels that she's a failure in life. She's not a failure. She just got two bums for husbands. She's not a failure. And she's always here. And she's always faithful. Sure, she never carried a child in her womb. But are they really our children? Do they not all belong to God? And how much influence will Shirley Goins have had on those children in the years that she's always been here and always been faithful? You don't have to be smart to love God. You just have to love people by the love of God that's in you. And what about O.D.? You think he left a testimony behind? You think Daryl and all of his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you think they don't understand that? You say, well, there needs to be more response. No. You need to live the life before them and leave the response up to God. You think when Sister Barnes goes on to be with the Lord, or coming down here and limping in here, sitting through all this, you think it's all wasted? That's what a mother is. A mother is someone that sets an example. She's a woman that sets an example. What do you think, John? Think you've got a mother with unfeigned faith? I do. She's always here whenever health allows it, and she's always anxious to help people. Geraldine, as a mother, has had influence on her children. Now, why am I talking about all this? To brag on them? God forbid. What about all of you here? All of you ladies. Are you going to establish a pattern so that when you go on to be with the Lord and people remember you, they remember your faithfulness to God, they remember your dedication to God, they remember that you not only talked about God, but you showed the work of Christ in your heart and in your life. There's no greater work that you can do. All the apple pies you ever made for your kids, all the money you ever spent sending them to college, all the things you did for them that made them love you because you helped them, passes away. But the love you had for Christ, that they observed in you during your life, and your unfeigned love, a genuine, faithful service to Christ, ladies, it won't ever go away. You think I'm preaching at you personally? No, it's not I, it's the Word of God. You ladies have a responsibility, and it's such a magnificent responsibility, and it's such a responsibility that a man cannot fulfill it in the way you fulfill it. It's impossible. I cannot have the influence on my grandchildren and on my children that my wife can. It's a different kind of influence. And every one of you ladies, whether you're single or married, whether you have children or do not have children, you have a responsibility, especially as members of this church, to show these children that come here to this church, whether they're yours or not, that you love the church, which is the body of Christ, and that this church means a lot to you, not just in words, but in deed. If you don't leave your children that kind of a heritage, you're actually robbing them and cheating them of what God meant for them to have. Let's go back to where we were in 2 Timothy. I'm almost finished. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Why do you think Paul loved Timothy so much? Because Timothy portrayed the same unfeigned faith that his grandmother and mother demonstrated. I don't love Sister George because she bakes me cakes and pies and stuff. She's not able to do that anymore. I've always loved her because of her love for the Lord. Same with Sister Barnes. Same with Bertha Lee. You see, ladies, you not only establish a role model for children as your pastor, when I see your godly lives, and I see your commitment to Christ, it encourages me. I thank God for women who practice what they teach and who set an example that's an encouragement to everyone else in the church, both children and adults. There's no substitute for it. You can put all the cheap tinselly plans you want in a church. You can have all the activities you want. But there's no substitute for the genuine, unfeigned love of a mother, and for that matter, of a father also. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Turn with me, if you will, to the end of 2 Timothy. Let me simply read you verses 6 and 7 in chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7 in chapter 4. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He knew he was about ready to die. He knew he was going to be executed. He knew he had come to the end of his course. But he had kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What I'm going to read to you next has no sexual connotation. It is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. It is for every child of God, and especially those children of God who are members of his New Testament church. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What did Paul leave Timothy? Nothing. He was in a cold, hard, deep dungeon in Rome, about to have his head chopped off. He didn't leave him a dime. Didn't leave him an old clock. Didn't leave him an old Bible. Didn't leave him anything physical. He was his father in the faith. Let me tell you what he left him. He was in a dungeon, and he was dying, and he knew it. Most men would have been writing letters and pleading and begging for somebody to get him out, but he didn't. In verse 5 he said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." He was concerned about the work that this young man was going to do for the Lord. Dying alone in a dungeon. And he was concerned about the work that young man was going to do for the Lord. Ladies, I bow before God and I stand before man, and I tell you that it matters not whether the child is yours or someone else's. You are to set an example before those children because you care what their lives are going to be lived like for the Lord after you leave. Teach them all you can. And let them see it enacted in your life. Faithfulness demonstrated before children is unfeigned love. Do you really love those children that you're around and that you see in this church? Do you realize that the same God who led Paul leads you? And that when you die and your children stand by your grave, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now listen, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I'll guarantee you that every one of Sister Barnes's kids that stand by her grave will know one thing. she loved his appearing. The same will be true with Bertha Lee. The same will be true with Sister George. Now I ask all of you here this morning, when some child that you taught or some child that you knew stands by your grave, ladies, is there going to be in them the awareness, she loved the appearing of Christ? If your answer to that is no, that's why God put this book together, so you could change your mind. And that's why God laid this on my heart after 9 o'clock this morning. I had no more idea what I was going to say before I got up here. I had no idea. I guess if there ever was a spirit the Lord just laid on my heart and led me in, it's this one. And I know one thing. He's never had anything but your best interest at heart from the day he formed you in your mother's womb. So I say this to you all, both male and female. How much do you love your children? If you love your children, male or female, whatever your sex may be, the greatest heritage you can leave them is not riches and silver and gold, but a testimony that is both spoken and lived, that your love for Christ was genuine and your life proved it. I don't think there's a greater thing anyone can do than to live a life for Christ before children, whether they're male or female. As Kay comes, as Johnny comes, we're going to have an invitation this morning. I hope as we have this invitation, if God's laid it on your heart to come for any reason, I hope this morning will come. What number, John?
17.
Number 17. Please rise. Coming this morning.